You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
My name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here at Parkside Christian Church. And I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning. And I want to say welcome if it's your first time or if you've been here a long time. Love you guys a lot. And we've been going through this gospel series, going through the gospel of Mark. And I have a question for you. If you could be a kid again, would you? If you could go back to being a kid again, I've heard some fun answers already being said to their neighbors. And if you would go back and be a kid again, what age would you pick? Think about that for a second. What age would you choose to go back to be? For some of us, the time in the summer of our childhood was a time of endless possibilities. And that's kind of funny to think about, endless possibilities of summer when really we didn't have an income, we might not have had any savings, we couldn't drive, but all of our needs strangely were met. And the world was our playground. Today, as we look at Mark chapter 10, we're going to talk about kids, kingdoms. We're even going to talk about camels. And Jesus will tell his followers that the kingdom of God belongs to the kids. I read a news story just this week. They asked a bunch of adults, us fun adults in America, how much money they needed each year. The results? $233,000 a year is what they said they needed to feel financially secure. I didn't read it in a newspaper, but, you know, close the newspaper. Honey, we need more money. And the study said $483,000 was the number annually that somebody would need to feel rich or attain financial freedom. What Jesus is going to say in Mark chapter 10 is that you don't need to be rich. Because no amount is enough. You don't need to be righteous because no human can be right enough. You just need to belong to God. He's the one who checks all the boxes and meets all of our needs. The question we have to ask today and every day is, are we willing to be dependent on God? Are we willing to belong to God? How do you inherit the kingdom of God? By realizing that we are children in desperate need of God. So if you've got your Bibles with you, open up to Mark chapter 10. We're going to start off in verse 13. Maybe you've got it on your phone. If you're watching from home or you're watching on a device, you can just follow it. It'll be on the screen here in just a second. Verse 13 is where we're going to pick up. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is one more instance where the disciples failed to realize that there are no outcasts or unimportant people in the kingdom of God. In this time frame, rabbis or the teachers of the day were known to lay their hands on children, large and small, and bless them. The disciples, who were likely tired from traveling and tense with the prospect of heading to Jerusalem, were probably just trying to protect Jesus' time. But Jesus' response is indignation. He's angry. These are strong feelings. And he's angry because the disciples are keeping kids from coming to Jesus. Jesus doesn't just want to bless them. He says the kingdom of God belongs to them. The kids own the kingdom. So Jesus corrects the disciples and he takes these children into his arms and he blesses them. What a moment. What a gift. Have you ever noticed how kids receive gifts? I mean, it doesn't matter what the occasion is. If there's a surprise, if there's a gift for kids, they get excited. Yesterday, Everly came running into the house, my three-year-old daughter. I'm sitting at the kitchen table, and she goes, "Dad, our neighbor George has a gift for me." And it's not a holiday. It's not her birthday. It's nobody in our house's birthday. There's no special occasion. And she goes, "Don't worry. When I come back from going over to his house, I'll tell you what he gave me." Okay. And so my wife and Everly go over, and 20 minutes they come back, and she has two ripe cherry tomatoes in her hands. She goes, "Dad, they're ready." I go, "Wow." She goes, "And they're delicious." And so she ate one, and she gave me one, and I said, "Hey, would you like this?" And she said, "Yes, thank you." She took it right back, and she ate it. Kids receive gifts with anticipation. They receive them joyfully and thankfully. They receive without believing they did anything to deserve the gift. And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is eager to bless the kids with the gift of his kingdom. That might be what you need to hear this morning. That might be what you need to take away for the rest of the week, or maybe even the rest of your life. If you want to come to Jesus this morning, you're not annoying to him. You're not a waste of his time. He doesn't want to keep you at a distance. When we come to Jesus like a little child, he blesses us. And there's room in the kingdom for you. There's room in the kingdom for all of God's children. Verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus said. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The next story that Mark writes down in this sequence of events is the rich young ruler. You might say, "Matt, why are you calling him the rich young ruler?" It doesn't say that in Mark. It's because in the other gospel accounts, he's either called rich or he's called young. So if you put all the gospel accounts together, you get rich young ruler. And what is the rich young ruler doing? He's running. And adults don't run. In the first century, it was an inappropriate thing or a almost disrespectful or out of line thing for an adult to run. And you might hear that and think to yourself, "Oh, Matt, how interesting. They didn't run. Must not have cared much for health." Let's be honest with ourselves. How many of the adults in the room right now have run at all this week? Not many of us spend time running, unless it's like a natural disaster. Or, you know, there's something free across the grocery store. We don't run for much. This man, in his youthful passion, is throwing respectability to the wind, and he's running to Jesus, and he's putting himself at Jesus' feet. It's a pretty interesting picture to think about and consider. But consider this. Who did the disciples stop? Did the disciples stop the kids? Yeah, the disciples said, "No, don't bring the kids to Jesus." Did the disciples stop the rich young ruler? They didn't stop him. Parkside, this is an uncomfortable question. Who do we make it easy for them to come to Jesus? Who are we the spiritual bouncer for, saying, "No, you can't see Jesus right now"? It should be an uncomfortable question, because there are people that we go, "You know what, we're just not going to gear this for you. You know what, we're just not going to make this easier for you." And it's different people in different situations, but who do you make it hard for to come to Jesus? Do you make it easy for your neighbors to come to Jesus? Your coworkers? Who do we make it easy to come to Jesus? So what does this man want with Jesus? He comes to Jesus and he says, "What box do I need to check?" If you notice the word that the man used, the young man says, "Inherit." How do I inherit eternal life? He doesn't come to Jesus and say, "How do I not inherit the things I deserve?" It's like, hey, how do I dodge this punishment that I have coming to me? He doesn't say, how do I avoid something? He says, how do I inherit? How do I get what's coming to me? As opposed to Jesus saying that the kingdom belonged to the kids. And Jesus asks him almost playfully, oh, so how good are you? Have you earned this inheritance? Verse 20, teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. The dude is humble. He's like, don't worry, Jesus, I'm perfect. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The rich young ruler starts this section off by saying, hey, I've been doing all the stuff you're teaching about. I've been doing about it since I was a little kid. I mean, this guy must have been a prodigy. I mean, just doing all these good things, obeying all the right rules, checking every single box off. The dude is ambitious. In verse 21, it says that Jesus loved him. He said, you lack one thing. Here's this rich man who isn't used to lacking anything. He's had everything he's needed to live life up to this point. So what does he lack? He lacked God. Are we holding on to our treasures instead of holding on to God? It said he went away sad because he had great riches. What a crazy verse. Mark is the only gospel writer who records that Jesus looked at him and loved him. In the midst of all these stories, just pause right there for a second. Jesus looked at this guy who may have been overly ambitious, maybe may not been honest with himself, and it said he loved him, even in the midst of what he lacked, in the midst of our shortcomings, in the midst of your shortcomings, my shortcomings. Jesus looks at us and he loves us. That feels good to know that. Flip it over, flip it around. Do you love other people in the midst of their shortcomings? Whew. When somebody's not at their best with you, do you look at them and love them? Jesus tells him, he says, one more thing. Give everything you have to the poor. Then your treasure, your inheritance, what you've got coming to you, will be in heaven. And the rich man's response is, no, I can't do that. James Brooks, in his commentary on Mark, calls Mark 10:22 the saddest verse in all of the Bible. He says it's the only instance of someone coming to Jesus with a need and leaving without that need being met. The world tells us to hold on to everything as tightly as you can. And Jesus says, hey, let go of all that stuff because I have something better. We've got these shirts that we're giving out to our volunteers today, but it's so appropriate. It says, hold grace in an open hand. Who we want to be as a church is we want to let go of the things that we have so that God can place grace in our hands and then we can give it freely. The world says, hold on tightly to everything you have so that nobody can take it. I don't know what you're holding on to most in life, but don't miss Jesus because of it. The children, they walk away blessed. The young man, he walks away sad. But Jesus continued to walk to the cross for all of them, for all of us. And it's just it's a convicting image to think about the man walking away sad and Jesus walking on to the cross. Parkside, we've got to take a moment and we've got to do some math because this story doesn't add up the way we look at stories, the way that we do math in our heads. We've got all the mathematics of grace wrong. This young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, what do I need to do? Tell me the formula. What do I need to add to my life so that I can get eternal life? Because I don't have eternal life right now. How do I inherit this? How do I get this as something that I've earned? And it's not good behavior. Jesus throws good behavior out there. He goes, nope, you still lack something else. So it's not good behavior. It's not money. The guy had plenty of money. And Jesus says, there's still something that you lack. We need to erase any list that we have in our head about who can or can't go to heaven. Because when we create this list of who can, who can't, who's got what it takes, who doesn't have what it takes, who behaves in the way that they can go to heaven or behaves in a way that they can't, or am I good enough or am I not good enough, we create a checklist of how you can earn something that was never meant to be earned. It was never meant to be something that you deserved. It's only something that God's able to give. Verse 24. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. You know what a grown-up says when he hears someone say, a camel passing through the eye of a needle? We hear that and we go, oh, that's impossible. The kids in the room, or the maybe the adults with an imagination, they immediately imagine how it could happen. They immediately begin to draw a cartoon in their head of what it would look like. In verse 24, Jesus calls the disciples children. How crazy is that? In this context of this story, it starts off with Jesus saying, let the little children come to me. He's telling the disciples. Now he's calling the disciples children. Do you see the contrast? On one end of the spectrum is a little child, poor in resources, but rich in the kingdom of God. And on the other end is a rich man who has all the resources, all the skill set, but doesn't have Jesus. He's poor in the kingdom of God. I've said this before, but one of my favorite things to do as a pastor, as the lead pastor at Parkside, is to get down on eye level with a little kid and talk to him. Because I love letting a little kid know that they matter to Jesus. But I love what little kids will say. Now, with my kids, I'm having to stand up more and more, and I'm pretty close to having to look up to my kids now. But I love talking to kids because they say such interesting things. Their focus is on such interesting things. They value such interesting things. As you have time today, whether you've got a kid beside you or you need to go find a kid somewhere, ask them how they would spend $1 million. Ask a kid what they would spend $1 million on, and I bet their answers aren't what you would spend $1 million on. They've got different values. Their answers would surprise you. Our answers would make tons of sense. And in this story, Jesus' answers aren't what our answers would be. Jesus' answers surprise us too. It left the disciples amazed. Verse 26, the disciples were even more amazed. They said to each other, who then can be saved? It's like what Jesus has just talked about is an impossibility. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible. Hey, you're right, but not with God. All things are possible with God. As we've gone through Mark, it's been pretty cool how often Jesus has left people amazed. And here it happens again. The disciples were amazed, and then a couple verses later, the disciples were even more amazed. Surely, Jesus, you're being metaphorical, but what's the point? None of us can do that. It's not just that we've got to be like a child. It's that we've got to be perfect, and you've got to give it all you've got. It's almost impossible for a rich person. You've got to be a camel through an eye of a needle? And Jesus says, now you understand. What you can't do as children, your heavenly Father can. So stop doing things to try and earn your ticket to heaven. Because you can't. It's just not something you can earn. Listen to Peter's response to this. Verse 28, then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me, and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. At first glance, it seems like Peter's kind of slow. Jesus says, don't give up hope. And Peter's like, but it's so hopeless. Jesus has just told him there's hope. But Peter here has left his family business. He's let go of all the stuff that we hold on to. But here's the deeper understanding of this passage. Money in that day was considered a blessing of God. If a person was righteous, people thought that God would bless them through wealth and material possessions. How crazy is that, right? Nobody thinks that now. Maybe we think that a little bit now. Maybe that's exactly what we think now. But the disciples, they say, if this were true, if God is blessing the wealthy, then how could they, poor fishermen, ever gain entrance? If the rich people don't get in, how are the disciples going to get in too? Let's just return for just a brief moment to the mathematics of grace, because we've talked about a lot about what doesn't work. Do you know what does work? You adding Jesus to your life. Eternal life, inheriting eternal life, is when you add Jesus to your life. I told you earlier, get out your eraser. Get out your eraser again, because we have to relearn some things. You know who can't save themselves? You. Me. The people we voted for. The people we didn't vote for. The people that cut us off in traffic. Our coworkers we like. Our coworkers we don't like. None of us can save ourselves. Do you know who can save themselves? That's a short list. With no names on it. Do you know who needs to be saved? You, me, your coworkers, the people you voted for, the people you didn't vote for, the people you like, the people that you go check out their social media, the people that you block on social media. We all need to be saved. There's none of us that don't need to be saved. We all need Jesus. And the promise of Mark chapter 10, the response that he has for Peter is, none of you are going to be left empty-handed. Any of us that come to Jesus and say, God, I can't do this on my own, we're going to walk away with a grace that is beyond something we could do on our own. Last weekend was Independence Day weekend. And this weekend, we're talking about dependence. In the tax world, if you've got kids in your home, you can claim them as a dependent, and it's a benefit to you. And the joke is that the age that you can claim a dependent seems to be going further and further out there, and there's more and more loopholes to claim someone as a dependent. And you go, hey, you're not even grown up. The IRS still thinks you're a kid because I've claimed you as a dependent. Are you willing to be dependent on God? Are you willing to be claimed as a dependent by God? In verses 29 through 31, Jesus is saying, God's going to take care of his children. If you depend on him, you're not going to walk away empty-handed. You're going to walk away with an inheritance of eternal life. Jesus blesses the kids with the kingdom, and the gift that God gives is eternal life. We inherit it when we realize it's our gift. And the gift of grace God gives is free. You can't earn it, but it's going to most definitely cost you something. And if your grace, if your faith hasn't cost you something yet, it will. But Jesus' promise is that you won't walk away empty-handed. At the start of this story, the disciples are stopping kids from coming to Jesus. And Jesus' response is no. My kingdom belongs to them. And if you come to me like a kid, saying, God, I depend on you, you won't walk away empty-handed. We're going to have communion now, and if it's your first time here, or maybe you just forgot, we've got communion at the black tables around the room, and don't worry if you need to get up and grab it. There's always a few of us that forget every week. You can go grab the communion. It's in a little baggie. Take a second to do that now. But I want to ask, have you come to Jesus as a little kid? Have you come to Jesus saying, I need the gift that you're offering? I need the gift that you have. Because some of us come to Jesus like an adult. We come like the rich young ruler, and we still bring all our stuff, arms full. And Jesus says, set that stuff down. It doesn't matter. I've got something better. And we go, actually, you know, I'm going to hold on to this. I'll just take one more thing. Just give me what you got. I'll add it to what I've got. Maybe today's the day that you come to Jesus as a little kid. You go, I'm going to stop holding all this stuff because it's not going to get me anywhere. Might feel good. Might make me feel safe for a little while. But I need to depend on God like a child depends on their parents. So as we have communion, maybe that's what you talk to Jesus about. God, help me to be a little kid who comes to Jesus and receives that grace. And if you want to talk with me about it, I'll be up here up front while we have communion for a little bit after that. But God's ready. He's got a gift for you. And that gift is not going to leave you empty-handed. Let me pray. God, as we come to you and we have communion now, I pray that we would be like little kids sitting at your table, eager to receive grace, eager to receive a gift far beyond any riches that this world has to offer. Lord, we don't deserve to inherit your grace, but you give us keys to the kingdom. You say the kingdom belongs to us when we come to you as a little child. Help us to not hold on to our riches, but to hold on to your rich grace. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.